Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SP3. It's Monday. First morning coffee, first morning chat, whatever you want to call it. SP3, happy belated Father's Day to you, buddy.
Happy belated Stepfather's Day to you, sir. It's a great day for fathers everywhere, or a great post day for fathers everywhere. Happy Juneteenth to those out there as well. So it was a cool weekend, but I'm glad to be back here with you talking about everything but professional wrestling, because I've talked enough about that after that crazy week from last week. So I'm ready to talk about our NBA champions. My Golden State Warriors are now the new NBA champions, back on top where they belong.
Oh, this is our first show since the Warriors have won the championship. The Warriors are the champions, everybody. I don't know if people know that by now. I didn't watch much of the final game, honestly. I went to like the third quarter hit. I think I turned it off in the third quarter. So just say I didn't watch much is a little bit of a lie, because I watched over half the game. But like, once the third quarter hit and the Warriors got up like 20, maybe it was 19. You could just tell the Celtics didn't have it. It wasn't going to happen. I was like, all right, I'm kind of over this. But congratulations to the Warriors. Good for them. Cool. They won. What do you want me to say? SP3.
My Golden State Warriors. You forgot the SP.
Sorry, your Golden State Warriors. You're just taking all of California. Any California? You want the Clippers and the Kings?
No. That's the only team. I won't take the Clippers, and I won't take the Sacramento Queens, but I'll take everybody else from California. I'll take everybody else. That's the rule.
There's only one good team in California. So
hey, I have a Warriors neck pillow that I purchased when I was in San Francisco, when I was taking an airplane back and I needed a pillow. They only had like a pink one and a Golden State Warriors one. So I went with the Golden State Warriors one. So I've been a Golden State Warriors fan.
Why didn't you go with a pink one?
I'm not Cameron. Oh, that only works for Cameron if you're from Harlem.
That's fair. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
JJ said, why did Boston even turn up? Final two games by them was shocking. Once they lost game four, like they lost game four, and that, I think that did a big number on them, like mentally, because that was a game they were up. They probably should have won that game. You know, they were up in the series 2-1 at this point. They go up 3-1. Like, I'm not saying the series is over, but you're in a good spot being up 3-1. Like, once they lost game four, that seemed to really, really affect them. And the Warriors, I mean, they've been here before. They know what they're doing in these situations. Game six wasn't a good performance by Boston. Katie says Marcus Smart low-key cost them the series. Smart, man, a lot of fouls in game six. Like, just he barely played in the first half because of all the fouls. And I don't agree with a lot of flopping in this series. A lot of flopping.
From him as well.
Yeah. Definitely from him. I actually, like, I didn't mind Boston coming into the playoffs. I was like, oh, they're a nice young, like, team. They're a good story this year, considering everybody wanted them to trade Tatum and Brown, like, early in the season when they got off to a bad start. It's like, oh, the way they've turned around is nice. I started to dislike Boston more and more throughout these playoffs. Like, they're complaining. They're flopping and stuff. Jason Tatum complains about everything. Like, every little call that doesn't go his way, he's complaining about it. Yeah, Smart, always flopping and stuff. Like, I like Jaylen Brown. He's good. He didn't do too much of that. I'm not a big Warriors fan either, because fuck Draymond Green. But yeah, I started to dislike the Celtics a lot throughout the playoffs. It was really the Milwaukee series that kind of turned it for me, with how much they were like flopping and complaining. I was like, oh, this team's kind of bitch made. It's what my friends like to call me and Sam like to call teams that act like this. Like they're just kind of a bitch made team, and that's what happened. And I wasn't really a fan of Boston by the end of this. Jason Tatum had to play better. This was supposed to be like kind of a coming out for him. He'd played great all playoffs, and he was invisible, like every single game. I don't think he played well in any single game, and that's not good. Coming into the finals, great tribute to Kobe Bryant when he was without Shaq in the finals, not showing up for it. He was still trying to win the MVP with everything. You know, I don't understand. I'm going to be mean to Kobe. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Don't do that.
Sorry, guys. I don't understand. Like, if Kobe's your favorite player, that's fine. But why is your favorite player, like, I don't understand how your favorite player just isn't always Jordan. Jordan never lost in the finals. Why are you going to?
He's 24 years old. What is he, 24?
But Kobe, that's people talk about loser or Mamba mentality. Like, oh, Mamba mentality, got to have it with Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Kobe Bryant being your favorite player is a loser's mentality because Kobe lost. No. It's a loser's mentality to like Kobe over Jordan.
He's only lost in a finals.
That's a loser's mentality. If you like LeBron, if you want to be like LeBron, be like, oh, I love LeBron. Like, that's my favorite player. That's loser's mentality. Steph, Jordan, that's who you should model your game after. Jordan didn't lose. That's who you model your game after. The guy who never lost. Like LeVar Ball never lost.
You're outrageous. You're outrageous. It took the big three in Boston and Shaquille O'Neal and Gary Payton and Karl Malone completely.
Kaden is banned from all of this. I agree with Kaden. Kobe is a better player than no. In every way possible.
No one worked harder than Kobe. Michael Jordan was just gift wrapped. No one worked harder than Kobe. He was gift wrapped. All those skills, the athleticism. He was gift wrapped. He was bored with it. Kobe had the breed.
Kobe wasn't bored with athleticism.
No, he wasn't. It doesn't matter if his dad was a basketball player.
You are born without athleticism. Like that's not. You can't really like teach athleticism. You can do things to become more athletic, but for the most part, that's a lot of just really good genetics to be that athletic.
No, Kobe was bred for it.
Tell me one thing Kobe did better than Jordan. One thing.
Work harder. He worked harder. He worked harder than Jordan.
He did not.
He was the first one in the gym, and he was the last one to leave. He was.
You know why Jordan worked harder? You know why Jordan worked harder? Because I don't know if he was the first in the gym, the last to leave, or whatever. But even if he wasn't, he spent all night gambling, and then he got to the gym, and he still busted these people. He still busted their asses. That's how I know he worked harder. Because he was this good when all he did was stay up all night gambling and playing cards and shit. That's how I know Jordan worked harder. He didn't need to be the first in the gym because he was out working everybody, even if he was the last to show up.
Man,
Kobe didn't do anything better than Jordan. He didn't do anything.
He did everything better than Jordan.
He didn't do anything better than Michael Jordan. Kobe,
everything.
Kobe
Michael
Bryant.
Jordan wouldn't have known how to play with someone like Shaquille O'Neal. He would have ball hogged, and he would have never let Shaquille O'Neal get to his full potential. He would have never had Shaquille O'Neal's back.
You
when
do
he gets
realize
fouled
Kobe
out
Bryant
game four.
Ran. He ran Shaq out of town. SV3. Kobe
that was
ran
after three
Shaq
championships, though. That was after three championships. He had to run him out of town.
Jordan,
to protect his
Jordan
legacy.
Wanted to win. Jordan would have loved playing with Shaq. He wanted to win. That's all Jordan cared about. Kobe wanted his numbers. If he wanted to win, he would have kept Shaq around. Kobe Bryant is, and this is not my original take. This is a tweet that I think is now deleted since Kobe's passing, but it was hilarious at the time. You remember when Kobe was like, there was a big LeBron Jordan debate, which happens every year. And Kobe was like, you know, just celebrate Jordan 6 rings, my 5 rings, LeBron's 4 rings. Like, just celebrate. I think it was only 3 at the time. But just like celebrate these rings. And somebody replied to Kobe and said, "This bilingual DeMar DeRozan thinks we're talking about him." He called Kobe bilingual DeMar DeRozan.
So disrespectful. So disrespectful.
One of the funniest tweets ever.
It was so disrespectful. All LeBron James is Magic Johnson with muscles. That's all he is. That's all LeBron James. That sounds
really good, though. You're going to bury your own Laker? You're going to bury your own Laker?
Oh, I think we firmly have established that LeBron came to the Lakers to appease me. To appease me and my hatred for him at the time when he left Cleveland for Miami, when Chris Bosh would have went to Cleveland, multiple people would have went to Cleveland, and you got it. But that's how good LeBron was. He could have made people go to Cleveland, and he proved that in 2015 by having poor. Well, to be fair, going from Minnesota to Cleveland for Kevin Love, I think that's an improvement. But yeah, he proved that he can get people to go to him wherever he was. He didn't need to go to Miami. All that. Oh, he needed to learn how to win. He needed to learn how to win championships. It's like going to college and then you go back home. Like, shut up.
His voice?
Shut up. Oh, God. That's how LeBron fans sound to me. Bron sexuals. That's how they sound to me.
I will say this about Kobe. If there was no Michael Jordan, Kobe would be like higher on the list. But because Kobe's game is so modeled after Jordan, because he was one championship shy of Jordan, like, he's just always going to be compared to Jordan. And I don't think he did anything better than Jordan. This is not a knock on Kobe at all. Jordan's the GOAT, in my opinion. But if there's no Michael Jordan, we talk about Kobe. Everybody already talks about him as one of the greatest because he is. But we talk about Kobe even in higher regard. But because there's Jordan, he always has to, you know, kind of live in that shadow. Unfortunately for him, Kobe's great. Yeah, I don't want to knock.
Of course, Kobe is great. Of course. See, he's modeled his whole game after Michael Jordan. A lot of the moves, playing two guard. He can never be the greatest two guard of all time because Michael Jordan played that same position. So it's totally understandable. But I would say, and Magic Johnson himself would say, Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time, The Lakers are the greatest NBA franchise of all time. So he's the greatest player on the greatest franchise in NBA history. So
that doesn't make him the greatest player in NBA history.
Michael Jordan can be the greatest player in NBA history. Kobe Bryant is the greatest player on the greatest team in NBA history.
Wow. Congratulations to him. He lucked out and he played for the Lakers. He's great. He lucked out. He's supposed to go to Charlotte. SP3.
How did this conversation about the Golden State Warriors turn into me defending Kobe Bryant?
I don't know. Because that's what we do here. He was supposed to go to Charlotte, SP3. Imagine if Kobe went to Charlotte. He would not be this. We would not talk about Kobe the same. Charlotte would have ruined that.
We would
that
be
man.
Talking about him as the greatest Charlotte Hornet of all
no,
time.
No, we wouldn't. Charlotte would have yes, ruined would. That man. No.
No, he wouldn't.
I don't think. No. We talk about you know, players and their greatness and everything. Environment has so much to do with that. Like, look at Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, Minnesota Wiggins, a bust, just terrible. Useless player, goes to Golden State, right environment, right system, gets the most out of him. Wiggins was the second best player in this finals behind Steph.
So what you're basically what you're telling me is if the Portland Trailblazers was actually smart in 1983 and they would have drafted Michael Jordan wouldn't have become the greatest player of all time.
No, he would have. Because there was no history with the Blazers.
Keep that same energy.
There's a difference between what the Bulls were and what the Blazers were. They were still the Hornets are a trash fire organization. SB3, you know they are a trash organization. You know they are. I'm big enough the Lakers
time.
Right now.
Not at no. that time. No. They had Larry Johnson. They had Alonzo Mourning. No.
They were a trash organization. They bred some
really good players from
there. He would have been a Bobcat. He would have a Bobcat SP3. Could you imagine Kobe Bryant as a Bobcat?
He would have forced the trade by then. He would have forced the trade by then.
I'm trying to big up the Lakers and saying that like it was good for him to go to the Lakers. The Hornets, they would have ruined that man. Mark.
Fast money, Mark. We would have had the greatest backcourt of all time. Kobe and Baron Davis? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They would have been balling with my Cardinal Hayes brother in Jamal Mashburn as well. Come on. Come on. That's a squad right there. We're going to the Eastern Conference Finals at the very least.
Maybe Kobe would have been decent on the Hornets. He wouldn't have been this Kobe. He wouldn't have gotten to play with Shaq. Come on. I mean, we love Jamal Mashburn and we love Baron Davis. They ain't Shaq.
No, they're not. But I'm just saying, was Shaq a benefit to Kobe's development or a hindrance?
A benefit because he learned how to win.
I don't know.
I don't know. You're going to say that playing
debate.
With Shaq?
That's a different debate.
Playing with Shaq is not a benefit?
It was a hindrance to his development. Anytime Shaq went away, Kobe got better. That's all I'm saying. That's when we got the 40-point streak. That's when we got the 19-game, 30-point streak. That's when he ball hogged and
took all the shots.
He averaged 6 assists. How? I hate that argument. How could someone that's averaging 6 assists per game be a ball hog?
I don't know, SP3. You tell me when Russell Westbrook averages 10 assists and gets triple-doubles and all they do is call him a ball hog as well. You tell me how this works.
Because he legit steals rebounds from his teammates to get triple doubles.
Okay, What does this have to do with passing? Oh, his 10 assists.
He's not the shooter. He's not the shooter that Kobe Bryant was, so he has to pass the ball eventually.
But how are you going to call him a ball hog if he gets 6 or 10 assists per game? I'm calling Kobe a ball hog with 6 assists.
To be fair, I've never called Russell Westbrook a ball hog. I've never called him that. That's not me.
Should hog the ball more in Los Angeles so they don't have to pass it to Anthony Davis, who shot 20% from three all season.
My boy Frisco, one of the best people I know, he's in the chat and he says it. He says it best. Hindrance for sure.
Imagine thinking playing with Shaq is a bad thing.
It's a bad thing.
A hindrance.
Ask Penny Hardaway.
They would have been fine if Penny could have stayed healthy. Yeah, Penny did great without Shaq. What did he accomplish without Shaq?
I mean, that's on Penny Hardaway. We're not talking about...
What did Kobe accomplish without an elite big with like Shaq or Pau Gasol?
Oh, now we're going to call Pau Gasol an elite big. Did he even make the 75 greatest players of all
time? That list was stupid. Damian Lillard made that list. Tell me what he's accomplished. That list is dumb as hell. I think Anthony Davis made that list too. That list is dumb. Pau Gasol is a better player than Anthony Davis. I'll take Pau Gasol on my team over Anthony Davis. What? Anthony Davis is one of the most overrated players in history.
He's gonna be top five in MVP voting. I'm guaranteeing. Fine. See, even Vala B, Frisco, he's everybody in the chat. I want to see everybody in the chat. Tell me Pau Gasol was so good. He was an elite big with Kobe Bryant.
Pau Gasol was so good. Why are you guys hating on Pau Gasol?
Dude, we traded Kwame Brown for Pau Gasol.
I can't help it that Memphis makes stupid trades. I can't help that Memphis makes dumb trades. That's not my fault. Pau Gasol's legit.
We traded Kwame Brown, ladies and gentlemen, to get this elite big.
I traded Marc Gasol, too. Marc Gasol turned out to be
this is good. True. But yeah. That was before he was Marc Gasol. That was what
Pau Gasol's really good.
Yes, he's really good. He's not an elite big.
I don't think he's. I gotta lean into it. He's an elite big, okay? He's absolutely an elite big. Absolutely, he is.
He's very good. I agree. He's very good, but he ain't no elite big. Like when we talked about the top three bigs in the NBA at that time, before he gets traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, Pau Gasol wasn't in that conversation. He was an
Because he
up-and-coming
played in
big.
Memphis. This is again development. I'm giving the Lakers credit here. He played with Phil Jackson. There's a difference between playing with Phil Jackson in that system where you can prove your greatness and playing in Memphis. I don't know who the coach was, but I'm sure he wasn't very good. Like playing in Memphis.
That was the grit and grind.
Memphis they've always been grit and grind. That's what they've grit and grind. Always been. I mean, a little bit less this year, but yeah. Pau Gasol.
I'm sorry.
Elite big Pau Gasol.
You could never call someone
tweeting this. Elite big Pau Gasol.
You can never call someone who got traded for Kwame Brown.
Let's not act like trades mean anything, SP3. Let's not. Who cares about what these trades are? Stupid trades happen all the time. James Harden got traded for Steven Adams. Here's, I mean, James Harden isn't an elite scorer because he got traded for Steven Adams.
Hey, Steven Adams is an elite big by your
elite center.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how we went from the Golden State Warriors to any of this, but I'm glad.
Who cares?
One of the best takes that we've had on this show. Pau Gasol is an elite big.
Elite big Pau Gasol. Haters.
We both have said two of the most ridiculous things. Me saying that Kobe playing with Shaq was a hindrance, and you call it Pau Gasol, an elite big. Oh my goodness. But the Golden State Warriors, do you think they're gonna repeat next year?
I mean, we gotta see how the offseason shakes out, right? Like we've gotta see how that shakes out. I it's tough for me to put anything on it when like the Lakers could trade Westbrook they could trade him for James Harden for all we know. Like, we don't know how the offseason is going to shake out. You know, the NBA has the craziest offseason. So yeah. They're the favorites. They're going to pull in Wiggins or free agents, right? Or am I mistaken on that?
And they both say they want the bag.
I mean, I'm sure they do. Golden State, I don't think whatever this fake salary cap is, I don't know if they can afford both of them. I think if they can retain Wiggins, I think Wiggins is more important than Poole. Caden's trying to big up Jordan Poole. Like, hey, he's a good scorer, but Andrew Wiggins locked up Jason Tatum, and Wiggins was giving them rebounding. He was chipping in with scoring as well. Wiggins is a guy, like, that's the guy you want over Jordan Poole, who's a very good scorer, doesn't play a lick of defense, though. I think Jordan Poole, he goes to another team, like, he probably gets a lot of points, but he's not going to be as good in that Golden State system. If he go, like, you put Jordan Poole on, for argument's sake, let's say the Hornets, and it's not the same. He'll get his points, but defensively, it is Jordan Poole slander. He's a good scorer, but let's not act like he's more important to the Warriors than Andrew Wiggins was.
No, Andrew
if,
Wiggins.
If Jordan Poole is guarding Jason Tatum all series, the Celtics probably win the series because Jason Tatum does not get held to 13 points per game or whatever it was on 10. Let me look at Jason Tatum's numbers. His shooting percentages were awful. Awful.
He was really bad. And he totaled 100 turnovers for the playoffs.
He was turning the ball over. Andrew Wiggins had him in hell. All series, absolute hell. Let's not act like Jordan Poole was going to do the exact same. Tatum averaged 20.5 points, which ain't good. Just a hair over 20 points after the playoffs. He had his highest scoring game was 28 points, so he didn't get 30 on any night. Shooting 36% from the field, SP3.
Oh, my God.
36%. Oh my God. He shot 41 from three. He actually shot the ball well from three, but 36% overall. You know, he couldn't do anything against Andrew.
You know how
Wiggins.
In regular jobs you gotta give like your whole like a whole like document or whatever, like statistics to prove that you need a raise. Wiggins just don't give Jason Tatum's line for the finals. That's how he's going to get his raise. That's how he's going to get his bag. He definitely deserves it more. He was an all-star this year, shut down the best player on the opposite team in the NBA finals. That game five performance that he had is enough for him to get the bag. Jordan Poole is a great, six man off the bench. And
Jordan Poole, by the way, Jordan Poole, for all this, oh, it's slander. Jordan Poole, so great. 13.2 points. All right. Like, decent scoring numbers. Sure. 13 points, 1.8 assists, and 1.8 rebounds. That's his numbers. And no defense. A lick of defense. You and I played better defense in the finals than Jordan Poole. All right. What did Andrew Wiggins do? 18 points. Averaged 18 points. So he averaged more than this elite scorer, Jordan Poole. 8 rebounds and locked up Jason Tatum. Let's not act like Jordan Poole is better than Andrew Wiggins or more important than Andrew. And I dislike Andrew Wiggins. I can't stand Andrew Wiggins because in Minnesota, the only team when everyone's like, Andrew Wiggins is a bust, Andrew Wiggins is a bust. The only team Andrew Wiggins would destroy was OKC. He hit half court buzzer beaters against them. He was like, he had like his only 50 point game against OKC. He destroyed OKC. And everybody, like, that was the one team, because all I heard every single day, Andrew Wiggins sucks. Andrew Wiggins is garbage. And then he played OKC. I was like, where's this garbage Andrew Wiggins? How come Andrew Wiggins is dropping 50? How come Andrew Wiggins is hitting buzzer beaters? I can't stand Andrew Wiggins. Well, I'm praising him here and know that it pains me and that I actually really dislike Andrew Wiggins, even though I did argue against him, against my buddy Brian for a column that Andrew Wiggins is a better player than Devin Booker. And 4 years later, I proved correct because one has a title and one does not. So
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I will defend Andrew Wiggins.
I read that article when he tagged you in it. I was like, look at Jeremy. Rooting for my Golden State Warriors and Andrew Wiggins 4 years ahead of time, 4 years before he was even on the team. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Andrew Wiggins is going to get the bag before Jordan Poole. If Jordan Poole wants to keep on the trajectory that he started this year, he should take the pay cut. He should take a cut of what he really wants to play on a championship team, because if they are able to retain both guys, I think they are by far the favorite to repeat next year.
Yeah, they're definitely the favorites if they get both guys back. I think as long as they get Wiggins back, they're still the favorites. And this, I don't want to be super mean to Jordan Poole. This is, you know, he's probably going to win sixth man if he stays on the Warriors. But that Wiggins is more important to what they want to do over Jordan Poole. They'll find somebody to score for them, I'm sure. They have Wiseman coming in. Kuminga and Moody are young players who in flashes showed like they did well. Dude, the Warriors, here's the thing with them, is they got those three guys I just named. They're still like a couple years away. It's very possible if they lose like Jordan Poole or lose Andrew Wiggins, these assets that they have, because trading is easier when it comes to the salary cap stuff. I don't completely get it, but they can figure it out than like signing a guy, because they can spend with a trade, but they can't spend as much with signing. It's the salary cap is stupid. Regardless, they have these three assets here. They can trade these guys and land like someone big. Some of these teams that are like, oh yeah, James Wiseman, former number two overall pick. Kuminga, Moody, lottery picks. Some team that has veteran guys who they don't want anymore because they're not trying to make the playoffs or anything. Warriors can easily offload those guys and get players who can help them win now and help them repeat. So yeah, Warriors are in a great position because they're still going to have their big three. They got their assets. You retain Wiggins, that they're going to be tough.
like, this is the whole conversation we had at the beginning of the year. We thought that the Warriors were going to make a big trade with all the assets they got. Like, I think that the best thing, surprisingly, and I'm even shocked that I'm saying this, the best thing that happened to the long-term, you know, consistency of this dynasty for the Golden State Warriors was Klay Thompson being injured for 2 years, because they were able to get all these draft picks, get young players. They've been able to develop them and they had time to be on the court. And now they're in a position where they can extend this dynasty for maybe 2 to 3 more years, pretty much. Like we're saying, going into next season, they are by far the favorite, in my opinion. I think the only team and right now the Vegas odds has the Nets at number 2. And does anyone trust the Nets after the season they had last season? Nope. Because, you know, my brother-in-law or cousin-in-law, I don't know, I still haven't figured out the family tree. My cousin-in-law, Kyrie Irving, he is not the person that you want to depend on. So, and all the other teams have these big faults, have bigger like holes, logic holes in their, you know, argument to become the next NBA champions. The Golden State Warriors are just in a prime position to be back in the NBA finals next year. Stephen Curry is going to be just as good. He's still in his prime. Klay Thompson is going to be better because he's going to have more than a year under his belt now, because people tend to forget he only came back, what, in January, February this past season? So he's going to have this is going to be the first full season that he's going to be playing for them. Wiggins is going to be more comfortable after the NBA Finals and the playoffs that he had. If they're able to retain Jordan Poole, that's even better. Draymond Green is the glue. Steve Kerr is the greatest coach of this generation of the NBA. I don't care what anybody says, you can argue with your mama that Steve Kerr is the best coach of this generation. Since Phil Jackson left the league, Steve Kerr has been the best. I don't care about your Greg Popovich. You could share that argument with somebody else. I already slandered him last week. But yes, Steve Kerr, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, they're going to be back in the NBA Finals from what I see right now, unless something drastic happens in this offseason. And there's already these conversations, because we already got our first trade of the offseason pretty much with Christian Wood going to the Dallas Mavericks. Do you think the Mavericks might try to make another deal? Because I've been hearing a lot of chatter over the last couple of days since the season ended about Zach LaVine, them making a play for Zach LaVine and Zach LaVine playing with Luka Doncic.
I've heard the rumors that LaVine to Dallas. I like the Christian Wood deal. I think the Mavericks, they just need better pieces around Luka, like whatever that is. And Wood is better than the bigs they have now, Dwight Powell and apologize, I forget the other guy's name. But like he's better than the bigs that they currently have. So I like Christian Woods. He's a nice player, not like fully like needle moving for them. But like when you got Luka, you don't need like full needle moving guys. They get LaVine, that's a very big deal for them. So we'll see there. Their defense, that could be an issue with LaVine and Luka. But Jason Kidd has proven like his system works pretty well defensively. I'm not writing off the Bucks. Yeah, Maxi Kleber, that's who I couldn't think of. I'm not writing off the Bucks at all. As if they have Middleton, like they probably beat the Celtics, and then we would see in the conference finals, like they're still going to be a force. I think they make some marginal moves, but as long as they got Middleton, Giannis, and Drew, like they've proven that big three can take them to a championship. So we'll see what they do elsewhere around like the edges and everything. Like the Nets are a weird team. You have Durant, you have Kyrie. I don't know what Ben Simmons is going to be like. You would think it helps them because he does do a lot of things that they need, but Kyrie's got to like buy in a little bit more. And he's just, I don't know if that's going to happen, because people are like, oh, you can use Ben Simmons like the Warriors use Draymond. And it's like, you know why Draymond is as good as he is offensively? It's because Steph and Klay move without the ball, and they're going to run around screens, and they're going to relocate, and they're just going to run people ragged. Kyrie and Durant, they ain't moving without the ball. That was the whole reason, like the Golden State fans, there was a lot of reason, but that was a big reason why the Golden State fans didn't like Durant, is because he just came in and he was just like, yeah, give me the ball. I'm Kevin Durant. Let me get my post-ups. Let me get my isolations and everything. Like, I'm not running off. Hey, he'd get a couple pin downs and stuff like that. But he's like, I'm not going to run circles around the floor. Kyrie certainly ain't going around multiple screens to try to get these threes and everything. So Simmons is going to be a lot of like gravity assist more than stand still off of screen, make the right read assist. Because Kyrie, I don't think he's going to move like that. So we'll see when it comes to the Nets and Ben Simmons. I'm trying to think who else might be there. The Suns.
Oh, your Phoenix Suns.
If they're healthy, if Chris Paul is healthy, if they're not trying to hide a bunch of failed COVID tests, that could be helpful as well.
I'm gonna start looking up all the takes that went down after when the last year's NBA Finals was about to begin, and people were saying Chris Paul is greater than Stephen Curry on the all-time point guard
list. That's stupid. That was because I had this conversation with Samer of like, Steph is the greatest point guard of this generation, and I hate the it's not even close argument. Cause if you have to say like, it's not even close, typically like it's kind of close, but
yeah,
it's really not close because
I think, and this is me saying Kendrick Perkins might be right that Stephen Curry is the best little man to ever play the game of basketball. Because when we did our top 10 list, everybody's above 6'6". Like yeah. No one's 6'3". And Stephen Curry makes the best argument to be in the top 10, and he's the shortest guy. He might be the greatest little man to ever play the game of basketball.
You look at the consensus top five point guards of this era. It's Steph, Chris Paul, I think Harden, Westbrook, and Kyrie. Am I right in that? Like, is there anybody that I'm missing? I think Luka is kind of like next generation. He's not there yet. Like he's only been in the league for a few years now. These are the guys who have been in the league for 10 plus years. I think Kyrie's right at like 10. But these are the guys who have been in the league for a while now. It's like they all came in around the same time. Chris Paul a little bit before them, a lot before them actually. But the longevity speaks for itself with Chris Paul. You look at those five guys. Those are the consensus top five guys. Yeah, Dame. If you want to throw Dame in there, that's fine. So the six. If you want to say those are the consensus top six, those outside of Kyrie, all those guys were in like the top 75 all time list as well. Like all those guys.
Yeah.
None of them come close to what Steph has accomplished. Like Chris Paul is pretty much the consensus number two on that list. And like, he doesn't have really any individual accomplishments. Chris Paul is up there because like, he is the best out of those, like the best pure point guard in terms of just like yeah. running an offense, playmaking, dishing out assists and things like that. Obviously like a great shooter as well, even though he just doesn't shoot the ball. But like pure point guard. Yeah. Chris Paul is there. Westbrook, Harden, they've got like the individual accomplishments with the insane numbers, the MVPs and things like that. Russ has been to the finals. Harden's been to the finals. They've both been to multiple Western Conference championships, things like that. Like Kyrie's got the ring, but individual accomplishments, he lacked behind. The fact that he's been on like the, not that he's been on multiple teams, because Harden's been on multiple teams as well. So has Westbrook. And the problem with them is like, they've blown up multiple teams. Like Kyrie, the way he's like flamed out on multiple teams is bad on him. Dame has like nothing. Like he's got one trip to the Western Conference finals where they didn't do anything. He's got like no individual accomplishments. Like there's like none of these five guys come close to what Steph has.
You not even combined.
I was about to say, you can add up like their accomplishments and it's not even close to what's that. They don't have the rings. None of them have a ring. I mean, Kyrie has a ring. And Kyrie was big in that finals. Let's not overstate that.
Yeah, it was. He hit the game winner.
Yeah, exactly. Like he was a big part of that finals team. But like, yeah, combined, they don't have the rings. They've got the MVPs between Russ and Harden, but they don't have like a finals MVP. They don't have finals trips. Like Harden and Russ have one finals trip together. Again, Kyrie has two finals trips. I guess technically three. He was injured for the one didn't play. And Paul has the final strip, but they're not close to what Steph has done. And it's kind of nuts, like, how good this guy has been and is, like, for his generation. He's the best point guard of this generation. I put him in the top 10. I took out Bill Russell and his fake ass 11 that rings.
Disrespectful. But you know what? I am going to put Steph in the top 5. I mean, in the top 10, because I'm removing Wilt Chamberlain. I'm removing Wilt Chamberlain because Wilt Chamberlain, if you're in a generation, and despite Wilt Chamberlain getting all these accomplishments, you know, the 100-point game, the averaging 50 a game, we said it once, we said it before, and you said it for Bill Russell. He played a whole bunch of construction workers, school teachers, and mechanics. And then in his same generation, he's one.
I'm sorry to cut you off, SP3. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we got a Shams bomb here.
Not a trade,
but Kyrie Irving Nets are at an impasse in conversations about his future in Brooklyn, clearing the way for the 7-time All-Star to consider the open market. Lakers and Knicks expected to emerge among potential suitors. A Shams bomb. Kyrie's going to blow up this entire offseason. This is why I can't, like, if Kyrie goes to the Lakers and they trade Russ for something else, I don't know if that makes them better. It makes them different. But we got Shams coming out here. Imagine Kyrie just going to the Knicks. He'd be so happy. They wouldn't win shit, but he'd get 50 points all the time. He'd be like, oh, Kyrie, what a great score. He'd get all his numbers. It'd be great. So we got, I'm sorry to cut off your Wilt slander, but Shams bomb right there.
Bring Kyrie to the Lakers. Kyrie's only done best when playing with LeBron. So
that's going to kill your Anthony Davis. That's going to kill your Anthony Davis. That's going to kill it. That's going to kill Anthony Davis. That's
the only player, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is going to average 8 assists a game with Anthony Davis as a top 5 MVP candidate.
No, he's not. Kyrie ain't passing the ball 8 times a game. Kyrie ain't passing it 8 times a game, much less averaging 8 assists per game.
Oh, my God.
Money Mark, to get back to this. Money Mark says, the real conversation is not Russell or Chamberlain. It's about Kobe. So my buddy Samer, he takes Kobe out of the top 10 to put Steph in there. Samer just messaged me and said Kyrie might leave.
That's ridiculous. Kobe Bryant is still in the top 10. I don't care what anybody says. He is in there. Wilt Chamberlain, he didn't win more championships than Bill Russell. Bill Russell dominated him in the NBA Finals. He has a 4-8 record against Bill Russell in the NBA Finals. Like, you can be the best scorer in the NBA, and this is why I've said before, the NBA should be like the NFL, and there should be an offensive player of the year outside of just the MVP, and that's what Wilt Chamberlain would have been a lot of times. He was the best offensive player when you're versing a whole bunch of mechanics and school teachers and construction workers. But Kobe Bryant, he won 5 championships in one of the toughest eras in the NBA, when there was still hand checking, when you had to go against the Spurs, when the Western Conference was probably as powerful as it ever was. And Kobe Bryant, he beat more 50 win teams than anyone in NBA history. So what the hell are you talking about?
I'm actually okay if you want to take Wilt out as well. Like, no knock on Russell and Wilt. Russell has the rings. Wilt has the numbers. We didn't watch these guys play. Anybody who, like, does these top 10 lists, they didn't watch these guys play. I'm sure they watched highlights and stuff, but it's hard to, like, put that era into terms when we weren't there for it. Right, we weren't. It's cool that they have all these rings when there were 6 teams in the league, and it's cool that Wilt has all these numbers when he was playing against a bunch of old white dudes who worked at the post office all day. Like, cool. To me, that doesn't mean a whole lot. It's no disrespect to these guys, even though I'm being very disrespectful. If you put Shaq in that era, Shaq would have had the numbers and the rings to go along with that stuff. Okay, like let's just be honest about it. So I'm fine with removing either of those guys. And I know a lot of the it's so funny to me when people are like, you can't remove Russell and Wilt, like they're legends of the game. I'm not disrespecting them by taking them out of the top 10. I'm saying the game done changed. And we got to have different criteria. And you didn't watch these guys play anyway. The only reason anybody has Russell and Wilt in their top 10 is because you were told to put them in your top 10 by the people who came before you. And you looked at their numbers. Oh, 100-point game, average 50. And you look at their rings, 11 rings. You can't take them out. No, you can't take them out because the game changed. And it changed because of guys like Steph Curry. And that's why they're in the top 10 yep. over Russell and Wilt Chamberlain. Fuck these old dudes, SP3.
We need someone to clip that. We need someone to clip that. That's a short. That's an FMC short. Fuck them old guys. Oh, man. Lovely. No, I agree with you, though. They, like, we even when we did the top 10, I think we went against what ESPN said. ESPN puts Big O, Oscar Robertson, in the top 10. And I don't. I'm sorry. I think Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double in this NBA is more impressive than Oscar Robertson doing it in the 1960s, 1970s. Like, I just think that the level of competition is just like college football. College football top 10, everybody talks about it. The level of your competition dictates where you are in that top 10. And I think it's the same in the NBA. When you talk about all-time great players, it's the level of competition. That's why we bring up that Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell went against a bunch of guys who didn't even play NBA full-time. They were mailmen. They were school teachers. They were mechanics. They were construction workers half the time. It was only Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain that were probably NBA players all the time because they were the ones that were most known. Bob Cousy, John Havlicek, those guys. Yeah, those are great players. They belong in the top 75. But top 10 all time? No. 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 My top 10, I'm going to try my best to keep this in order, in my order, how I see it. Michael Jordan?
Okay.
I
thought you Michael were going somebody else besides Jordan at number one. I was about to remove you from the show.
Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, Stephen Curry, Shaquille O'Neal. That's my order.
I'm not putting Steph over Shaq.
I'll put Steph over Shaq.
There's a good argument for it, but Shaq to me, like, that's just the most dominating player of all time. He probably should have won more, but you know, he didn't for a variety of reasons. But that dude was just, he was a different animal, man. Different animal. All right, real hot takes on the Warriors and their big three. I think this is, and you guys got to hear me out on this. I think, explain Kobe over Duncan. Yeah, I agree with you, Money Mark. Duncan,
he beat him more. He beat him more. Kobe beat Duncan
over Kobe.
Kobe beat Duncan more times than Duncan beat Kobe in the playoffs. That's my argument. Duncan. And Duncan and the Spurs could never win back-to-back championships. Like, they were immune to it. Like, if it was an even number year outside of 2014, these dudes wouldn't even get close to the NBA Finals. Like, come on, they can't win back-to-back championships. I value the three-peat from 2000 to 2002 and the back-to-back championships in 2009 to 2010 over any of Duncan's championships.
Duncan over Kobe. Is that it?
Nope. See? Dan Foster, Caden, you guys are right. You guys got it.
Caden's been wrong. Caden said Jordan Poole over Andrew Wiggins. This should not be your baseline.
Hey, you can have one bad take. You can have one. You're allowed one bad take. My one bad take is looking like AD as a top five MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's not gonna age well at all when Kyrie. It didn't age well when you said it. I immediately called that out. It didn't age well when you said it. And now it's already spoiled milk. That shit is already that was dated to expire 2 seconds after you said it, and it's now it's 3 weeks past expiration. Oh, man. All right, my hot take on the Warriors: worst big three to ever. Worst title team big three. Hear me out, SP3. Hear me out. Okay. Here's why. I don't care about the championships. I don't care about the accolades. You do a 3-on-3 tournament, right? 3-on-3 tournament against any other big three that has like the accolades that they have. They don't win. Tell me which big three they're beating.
They would be the Boston big three of 2008.
Garnett, Rondo, Ray Allen, and Pierce.
They would beat them. All I need is Draymond to guard Pierce.
Kate.
And Kate,
who's guarding Garnett? Who's guarding Garnett?
Man, I'll put Clay on Garnett. He clamp
Garnett
up Garnett.
Would destroy he Clay.
He would clamp up Garnett.
Garnett would destroy
Garnett. People get it twisted. Garnett was not the player he was in 2004. I mean, in 2008 that he was in 2004. It was like 10 years between his MVP season and going to the Boston Celtics.
Garnett would destroy Clay. Here's why I think they're the worst. I don't even consider, real quickly, I don't even consider the Boston Big Three in the conversation because they won one title. Okay, they won one title.
That's fair.
Let's not act like they're like the Spurs Big Three or the Bulls Big Three or the Lakers.
They would beat the Spurs Big Three. They would beat the Spurs Big Three.
Tim Duncan would put work on Draymond.
No, he wouldn't.
Tim Duncan would work Draymond. Yes, he would. This Tim Duncan slander has got to stop.
And you're telling me Steph Curry wouldn't put Tony Parker in a blender? He would put Tony Parker in a blender.
But Tony Parker would that pick and roll, they would not stop that pick and roll. That Tony Parker, Tim Duncan pick and roll. Here's my argument of why the Warriors are the worst big three. It's because they are so reliant on, and this is not a bad thing, mind you. I'm not trying to say this like this is a bad thing. They're reliant on other guys setting screens and Steph moving off the ball and everything. In a 3-on-3 game, a lot of that is out the window. You got Clay setting a screen, and that's about it. But you can't relocate and move around as much in just a 3-on-3 game. Draymond, what's Draymond going to do offensively? They ain't worried about him offensively 3-on-3.
You don't need to worry about him at all. You don't need to. You got the Splash Brothers.
They could easily counter them in a 3-on-3 game because you ain't worried about that third guy offensively.
They're beating the Spurs. They're not beating the Spurs. Yes,
Tim
they
Duncan
are. They're
work
beating the Spurs.
Draymond.
But it's basically a non-factor because Steph is going to put Tony Parker in a blender, and then Manu and Clay they would even each other out as well.
It's a one possession game.
And I count more on the Splash Brothers to hit the big shot to win that big three battle.
You don't need
I would
a big shot.
On the Spurs.
It does, they're not scoring that much. Steph ain't getting to the rim because Duncan's just going to patrol the paint. Duncan's just at the rim the whole time. They got to hit all of their threes. I mean, they might do it. They are very good. But they got to hit all of their threes. Yeah, the Spurs need one miss. The Spurs need one miss. That's it. Because they're scoring every single time down off the pick and roll. They ain't stopping.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they will.
Now you
are slandering the defense of the Warriors. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, the three of them because Steph Curry ain't defending.
He can defend Tony Parker.
Tim Duncan's going to set one screen, wipe out Curry, and then it's a pick and roll.
Will you stop?
And it's over.
Will you stop?
And it's over.
That pause that you did answered my question.
And it's over.
You know that Steph Curry can guard and put Pepe Le Pew in the freaking blender. He will put
one
him in the
miss.
Freaking
Money
blender.
Money Mark says it.
You better
one
move
miss.
On. You better move on to the next big. Who's the other big threes that the Warriors? They better than this first big three. Will you stop?
They're getting destroyed by the Lakers big three. The Showtime Lakers. You can give me the Showtime Lakers,
or
you can give me Shaq, Kobe, and Fisher. I don't care.
Of course they are. Yeah, I agree with that one.
The Bulls. They're getting destroyed by the Bulls.
Okay, the Bulls. Yeah, of course.
They're getting destroyed by the Heatles. The Heatles are beating them.
Okay, you literally are naming like the top four big threes of all time. They're
okay,
they're in the top ten. They're in the top 10 big threes of all time.
Of course they're in the top 10. That's not the argument. My argument is that they're the worst of this bunch.
They could beat the Boston big three, the original Boston big three of Mikhail Parrish and Bird. Yeah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The size that team has,
I'm putting Klay on Bird, and okay. Klay gonna clamp him up. Healthy Klay gonna clamp up.
Who's Steph guarding? Steph getting posted up every single possession, and that's it.
But they can't. Who's they can't Steph guard guarding? Him on the outside.
One miss. This is the thing. One miss. SP3. One miss.
They ain't
that's
missing.
It.
They ain't gonna miss.
I think they'll miss once.
They ain't gonna miss.
I saw Steph Curry in the finals. He missed a three in the finals. He didn't make a three in one of the games.
Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure Steph Curry came back and hit seven.
One miss. One miss. That's it. No, the OKC big three is not in there because they didn't win shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, you had to actually win something to be in this conversation.
So I gave you three big threes.
And you're wrong on all of them.
No.
Maybe the Boston one with the Ray
Spurs
Allen.
I am correct.
No. Absolutely not. Because you're slandering Tim Duncan for some reason. You dislike Tim Duncan.
I'm not slandering.
What is your beef with Tim Duncan?
Why do you dislike Tim Duncan?
Because
he beat my Lakers. I hate him. You beat my Lakers. I hate the Spurs.
You just admitted your bias against Tim Duncan.
I see. I'm honest here. That's all I am on FMC.
You're honestly wrong.
I'm nothing but honest, and I hate the fact that there are some fans out there that consider the Spurs a dynasty when they couldn't win back-to-back championships, and it sullies the name of real dynasties like my Los Angeles Lakers when you try to consider the Spurs a dynasty.
You're honestly wrong.
No. I'm nothing but honest on this show, ladies and gentlemen.
Your hatred of Tim Duncan. I didn't realize you hated Tim Duncan this much. I mean, I probably should have realized it because the Spurs did beat the Lakers, but I didn't realize you disliked Tim Duncan.
He made Kobe cry. Anyone who makes Kobe cry, I hate you.
Well, Kobe,
when we lost in 2003, Kobe cried. So I'll never forget that.
Honestly, that should be more fuel for the Spurs being up there because they made Kobe cry. This team was so good, they made Kobe cry. And you're gonna hate them.
No one has given
when did
me
you become such a Warriors fan?
No
I understand
one has,
because
no
they
one
beat the
given me, no one has given me an argument how Pepe Le Pew is gonna guard or score on Steph.
My argument is Steph Curry is gonna miss. That's my argument. Steph Curry is
gonna
miss.
One three, yes. And you're telling me Draymond Green, especially if this is a street ball 3-on-3, you're telling me Draymond Green can't elbow the shit out of weak-ass Tim Duncan?
Oh, Tim Duncan would put work on Draymond. He would work him.
Tim Duncan absolutely can't flop. He can't do all of this to get the foul call in a 3-on-3 on street ball.
Tim Duncan was much harder than people are going to give him credit for to survive in that era. Tim Duncan was just silent. He didn't need to do all that shit. He didn't need to talk a big game. He just fucking whooped you.
He also whined. People tend to forget that. He whined a little bit. He whined a lot. He whined a lot.
Tim Duncan just works people.
He ain't going to be able to whine for a call, and Draymond just going to elbow the shit out of him and get offensive rebounds for the misses that Steph and Klay get.
Draymond ain't doing shit. Ain't doing
Draymond nothing. Green. Y'all are slandering Draymond Green. I don't appreciate
that. Yeah, because he can't do anything. He can't shoot. He's useless
as
in 3-on-3.
As a member of the new media, I don't appreciate you talking to the CEO of the new media, Draymond Green, like that. I don't appreciate
he's
that.
Useless.
You are a member of the new media. You got to respect the Michael Jordan of the new media, Jeremy, Draymond Green, please.
I do appreciate that he podcasts after games. Draymond can do a podcast about how Tim Duncan would work his ass in a one-on-one.
Oh, I'm going to send him a message back.
He'll respond. He'll freaking respond. All Draymond is on Twitter these days. responded to Ja Morant and the Grizzlies and all this stuff. That is pretty fun, honestly. That was good shit.
It was great. It's great. Fuck new media.
Green.
Get new media.
Caden is here. Caden is here for the penalty box. I need like a sound or something for the penalty box. But we do have the graphic, thanks to the great Romeo. There's the graphic. Not the graphic. Yeah, I do need a sound for this. All right, let's bring in Caden.
Like a hockey.
How you doing, Caden? Yeah, it'd be like there's a penalty. There's like a referee, like 2 minutes for whatever. Caden, how are you?
I'm good. I've realized that my audio usually sucks whenever I do these shows.
High right now. Quit yelling.
Is it high? Okay, let me.
Yeah.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's better now.
Okay, I'm trying out new stuff, and I'm in a different location to see if it sounds better. Wait,
see, Caden is a member of the new media, ladies and gentlemen. That's I'm running with this gimmick now. I'm a member of the new media. Don't disrespect. Do you respect Draymond Green?
Draymond Green. Whenever I know a lot of people hate on him for what he did to LeBron in I think it was game 4 or game 5 when he got suspended for punching him in the dick. That was one of my favorite moments in NBA history. I love him for that.
Yeah, because LeBron came back and whooped his ass.
Oh, I don't care. I hate LeBron, and I wanted to see him get punched in the dick.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Before I get started talking about hockey, SP3, check your Twitter DMs. I sent you a meme about Chris Paul.
Oh, God. What is this? What's happening? On this show.
New media.
New media. Out here. New media bullshit. What is happening?
Out here. We out here. New media. Chris Paul probably bought it. Deshaun Stevenson sold it.
I don't get it. I don't know what the meme is. I just know I dislike you both. You're fucking new media.
New media.
Yeah. No, right,
let's talk about the Avs and the Lightning.
I don't want to talk about the Avs and the Lightning.
Then I'll talk about it. The Colorado Avalanche are up 2-0 in the series against the back-to-back defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. They won 7-0 in game 2. Sucks. They scored a damn touchdown and converted the kick.
Hated it. Hated every second of this victory.
You got Cale McCarr scoring 2 goals, Valerie Nichushkin scoring 2 goals, Manson scoring, Burakovsky scoring, Helm scoring, Cogliano's back, Kadri might be back tonight.
No, slash stop it. It's all terrible.
I'll praise them and you can put them down because I know that's what you're going to do. So let me praise them, then you can take them down. The Colorado Avalanche have played phenomenally. Not only that, they've played the game that Tampa does not want to play. Tampa is good in the close game situations, 2 to 3 goal games. That's what they want to put them in. Colorado immediately in the first period knows not to do that and to start scoring as soon as they can. If they can continue that tonight, they're going into Tampa. That's going to be hard. Tampa does not like to lose like this. They're not fans.
They're not going to lose anymore.
The difference is Andre Vasilevsky has looked insanely human.
But he's going to be great.
First 2 games against New York. So it's going to be up to Colorado in this first period to make it a high-scoring game because if they can do that again, it's over.
He's gonna be fine. Vasilevsky's gonna not lock it down. Shutout tonight for Tampa. He probably gives up like 1 goal the rest of the series in the last 4 games here. Tampa in 6 because game 6 is the same night as Forbidden Door. So I'm definitely gonna have to work when this is gonna. Oh my God! All right, so we have a run in from the famous friend Sammer. He's gonna tell you. How nobody can see him. He's hidden here. This is phone. Sammer, you're just look at this garbage.
We just see his shadow. That's awesome.
Yes. Why does your phone suck, Sammer?
Actually, well, my camera is not working only for selfie camera, but it's working if I'm so if I flip the phone, you'd be able to see me, but that would kill the mystery. So it's better if you just see shadows here and let your imagination run wild.
People have seen you. You've been on this.
That was on a different podcast. Don't kill the gimmick. What are you doing? Exposing the business.
Sorry. Okay, so I don't know. You can see us, right?
I can.
Okay, so you see SP3. SP3 is the person who I've talked about before. We do the basketball show every week. And Caden is our hockey expert. Caden is here to talk hockey, and he's praising this horrible Colorado Avalanche team that's going to lose in six games.
Oh, my God. Nobody has any idea what I've been putting up with for the last 2 months.
Yeah, about 2 months.
It's been
on this show. Yeah, they know a little bit from what I've done on the show. But Samer has to. I say bless the fiance because she has to like put up with me like in real life. But Samer's the one who gets the 500 text messages in the middle of the game when I'm just All right, I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna read these text messages. This is a 7-0 win. A 7-0 win on Saturday. Okay, 7-0 win. And these are the messages I sent Samer. I hate getting an early lead. They can never push it to more, and they can never hold it. Bunch of meaningless goals. Had a breakaway to push the lead and missed. Blowing this is going to suck. Now a post. It's like 3-0 at this point. It's going to really suck to blow this. Another injury. Two-thirds of our second line is now injured. Makar took a bad knee. It's going to suck to blow this. Now they're going to start running our guys. McKinnon and Makar have 1 point so far. It's going to suck to blow this series. We won this game 7-0, and those were the messages I sent Samer. Samer, what was your response to this?
I think I called you a bitch. I don't remember, honestly, with the exact response, but it must have been something akin to those lines, right?
You said quit being a little bitch.
Oh, well, close enough. You did not take my advice.
We're going to blow this series.
What I don't understand, well, I told you this last night. What I don't understand is, like, what's the ideal scenario?
Winning? But that's not going to happen?
Right. Like, the absolute ideal scenario is a sweep, right? Now, I don't think this is going to happen, but you're on pace to do that. So what the hell is your problem?
We're going to lose the series. That's my problem.
Well, once you lose the first game, you get to start being mad.
No.
Oh, this is what I put up with.
No, we're gonna lose this series, Samer.
It's on like after game one. Well, being friends with him for so long, and we root for the same basketball team, unfortunately. So we're kind of used to raging about sports. And I live continents away, so there's a pretty huge time difference. So sometimes I wouldn't stay up to watch the games, but I can tell by reading his last text, and I say his last text because it's usually about 30 while I'm asleep. He knows I'm asleep, but he's sending 30 texts anyway. I can tell by the last text if, you know, there was a win or a loss, if he's happy or not. And after game one in the Stanley Cup finals, his last text was, "I hate the sport." So I thought they lost. So I didn't check the score. Like, I don't put up, I don't actually follow hockey all that closely. But then an hour later, I was like, Canadian. Well, let's see. True. An hour later, I was like, well, let's see, you know, let's watch how badly they lost. And I look at the score and they won 4-3. And I legitimately didn't get it.
I hate this sport. It's the worst sport ever. I hate the finals. I just want this to be over with, Samer.
In two games, it will. Just you wait.
In four games, it'll be over with. No, it's terrible.
Come on, Jeremy, you haven't have you lost since I put the SP3 sprinkle on the Avs? I don't think
this is the annoying part. This is the annoying part. So, Samer, yesterday, Samer's like, so you're mad that. He's like, you're annoyed and complaining that your team is playing well, you have nothing to criticize, and they are winning. You are insane. Yes, this is why I'm mad about everything, because they've lost two games, all playoffs. Two games. They are 14-2, all playoffs, okay? 14-2, and they've only played one bad game this entire time. One of those losses, they were up 3-0. They should have won after a McKinnon highlight reel goal. They just blew it, and then they lost in overtime. They've only played one bad game all playoffs. They look amazing. They look tremendous. They look like they should easily win this series, and that's why I'm annoyed. Because everyone thinks, oh, 7-0, they win, it's over. Tampa, what can they do? They can do a lot. They're going to make a shit ton of adjustments. Vasilevskiy is going to lock it down. Tampa's going to lock it down. We're going to lose this series in 6, and I'm going to be even more insufferable than I am right now. I'm going to be so, so mad because they've given me this hope. They've given me so much hope by playing this well. They've given me so I can almost feel it, and they're going to let me down, and I'm going to cry so much. I'm going to cry on the stream. Nobody's going to talk to me for days. I'm going to go just silent. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going to just crawl up in a hole. Fightful's going to have to shut down because Jeremy is just not doing any work, and nobody else is going to do any work. Fightful overbooked is going to be canceled. I'm just going to go in the deepest, darkest depression ever when we lose this series because they've given me some hope. Oh, guys, I can't take it. I
can't. He kicked himself out. He kicked himself out, ladies and gentlemen. That's how epic that rant was. Wow. He had to kick himself out. To give
he
himself
gave up. He gave up.
Live on air, ladies and gentlemen. This is FMC for you. This is FMC with Jeremy's team. Is up 2-0. He said it. He said it last week. He said he would be in panic mode if they were up 2-0. God bless you, Sam.
I can't do it. I can't.
Oh, wait. He's still. You're still going?
I can't. No, I stopped when I kicked myself off. I just can't do it. I can't. I just want this to be over. I really, really do. I want it to be over. It'll be over soon. Samer, SP3 is slandering Tim Duncan. Please tell him he's an idiot.
Oh my God. I thought your promo was the worst part of this. What? What's the slander exactly?
SP3,
you're telling me I'm the worst one? You called Pau Gasol an elite big.
Elite big Pau Gasol, that's right.
Elite big Pau Gasol.
Elite big Pau Gasol.
Before he got with Kobe Bryant, he was an elite big, apparently.
Don't change the topic. Don't change the topic. Why are you slandering Tim Duncan?
I'm not slandering Tim Duncan.
You are.
All I said is that Tim Duncan is behind Kobe Bryant in my top 10 all time. That's all.
That's slander.
No, it's not.
I am a Spurs fan, and I'll admit Kobe is better than Tim Duncan.
You're a fake Spurs fan, Kaden. Fake.
What have you gotten me into?
I don't know. I just brought you on here. Pau Gasol,
Pau Gasol was an elite big for his. Thank you. Like in an all time context, like not in an all time context, surely, but in his era, like you can call him an elite big. It's not like there were
before
that
he got with Kobe. Before he got with Kobe, you're kidding me.
Elite big Pau Gasol.
I don't know about before. I don't know about before he got with Kobe. I don't know about
exactly.
But, I mean, playing on a better team with, you know, Phil Jackson and Kobe and those guys, like, surely, I'm sure that helps. Like, you know, very few players are great on bad teams, except, you know, those who are exceptional. And I don't think anybody's calling Pau Gasol exceptional. But yeah, he did his job. I mean, wait till we talk about
the Kobe
elite big.
And Phil Jackson.
No, the only elite big on that team was Andrew Bynum.
For half a season, yup. Absolutely, I agree.
Then he went bowling.
For the half a season he was on the team, he was always elite. Yes.
Then he went bowling. All right, Samer, thank you. Thank you for always putting up with me. I'll talk to you later because I'm in panic, depressed mode all day. This stupid game is less than 12 hours away. I just want it to be over with. Bye, Samer.
I'm as nervous as you are. Bye, guys.
That was my buddy Samer, who I'm sure will be back at some point. Kaden, do you have anything else to say? No more hockey talk. Hockey's the worst sport in the world.
Has anybody watched Miss Marvel or The Boys?
No. I do want to watch The Boys. I've watched season 1.
The next episode coming out this Friday is called Herogasm. It's based on the comic book Herogasm, and it has been banned in 4 countries.
Sweet. Look forward to it. Well, I'm going to catch up on The Boys at some point. I'm sure, maybe, hopefully, at some point. Kaden is doing shorts for Fightful Overbook. So if you see the little short clips on Overbook, that is all the work of Kaden. He's got myself, SV3, and Cher Googling dick trophies. And then he had
one of my
hockey rants. I feel like I've provided a couple today as well. He's going to do it for more than FMC. So it'll be throughout all the shows on Overbook doing some clips and stuff. So we appreciate Kaden putting in work on that. Kaden, do you want to plug anything?
Thank you, Kaden.
No, I haven't posted on my podcast channel in like 2 months.
Well, Kaden will be back next week to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, which they're going to do on Sunday. So we'll talk about that, and we might not do a show next week if that happens.
It needs to end by game 5. I'm gonna be at the theater for Forbidden Door. I don't want to have my phone up watching the game 2.
It's Lightning in 6. This is what's gonna happen, Kaden. Just prepare for it. Next week will be Kaden and SV3 doing FMC. I don't know what they're gonna talk about. I will not be around.
I know basketball.
All right, well, see, yeah, you're That's a fake Spurs fan thinking Kobe is better than Tim Duncan.
He's a correct Spurs fan.
No. So you guys, next week is Kaden and SV3. You guys have fun with that. Bye, Kaden.
The New Media Podcast.
Bye, New Media. Kaden. Oh, Jesus.
New Get Media.
All right. Let me send this link to our pal, Cher Delaware, because we do have challenge to talk about. A rough week for me on the challenge, SV3.
Oh, yeah.
Very rough week.
I couldn't tell you how shocked I was watching this episode. Because I thought I was about to be down one guy. I was like, we were talking about me with the 4 guys that I had, and I thought it was over. I was like, Jordan picked Mark. I was like, oh man, I don't know if Mark can do this, even though it did. The first part of the challenge, of the elimination, did suit him very well because he has 2 hands. But it was like, when it gets to that puzzle, I don't know.
Yeah, it was, it sucked for Jordan because they're pulling the rope. And of course, with one hand, it's kind of difficult. He's got to like wrap the rope around his half hand and pull. Like, it was tough for him. So he got behind on the puzzle. I'm with you. Like, once it got to the puzzle, it's like, all right, this is where Jordan can hopefully put it together quickly and win this. But no, he lost the mark. So I lost Jordan, my top pick. And then I don't know that I really had Ronnie, because I forgot she was on the show until she got called out here. And then she, you know, she lost to John A. And so I've lost Ronnie. I've got like Derek and Kayla left. And it ain't great. It ain't great, SV3. It's not looking good. Not looking good for me right now.
No.
Let me share this. I'm going to share the draft board here so everyone can see how SV3 is really kicking the shit out of myself and share with his. So I've lost Jordan. That was my top pick, Gonzo. And I've also lost Ronnie. So, yeah, I'm down to Derek and Kayla. SB3 has Brad, Kellyanne, Mark, Naya, Nehemiah, and Wes. And Cher has John A. and Veronica. So Cher's done when it comes to the men's side. That you can take that in many ways. I think she's done with men and the challenge and just in life. And I've got one on each. And like, I don't feel terrible about them, but the odds are not against either of us. Or the odds are against both of us. Like, they're not with either of us. And SV3 is sitting pretty right now. Sitting pretty.
Oh man,
you're gonna get the nice dick necklace that you gotta wear anytime we talk about exactly. The challenge.
Exactly. I'm gonna get my dick necklace on. It was a good week for Cher though, with the woman that she had left. One of her women won the challenge, and then the other one of her women won the elimination. So she had a good week. And I would say that, you know, like I told her last week, Jhonae is looking like the best of the women. I think Kayla is the only one that you have that can give her competition. It doesn't look too great from my Naya pick based on the clips for next week. I know you don't watch the clips.
No,
for next
don't watch week, it. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Yeah, yeah. It just didn't look. It didn't, the only thing I will say is that it didn't look good for Naya without Jordan, which it was always going to be that case.
Yeah, she kinda that was always, somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, she always needs somebody to kind of have her back, whether it was, you know, Leroy on the regular seasons and free agents and Battle of the X's, and then Jordan here on All-Stars. She kind of always needs someone to kind of have her back and be her ride or die for her to kind of do well. So it was always a risk whenever she lost that person. So not looking too good. West is looking panicky, but I'm interested. It's going to be very interesting these last couple of episodes, especially on the men's side, because really it's like, you know, Brad, Nehemiah, and Wes, they kind of have a strong connection with each other. One of them have to win. One of them have to win, or I think they're going into an elimination against one of each other. And I know,
yeah.
I know if it's Wes against any of them, he's going to be super pissed. Super fast.
You're gonna win this, and your prize is a dick necklace. A Shock says a dick necklace. I thought that was what that was called. SP3's Laker merch. they did trivia this week. SP3. They did trivia, which is always the best because TJ just like cackles at all this stuff. The fiance,
It wasn't the best trivia, I will say, but Brad made it awesome.
Yes, so the fiance doesn't watch the challenge, but I turned it on because she was like doing laundry, and so I just had it on. And when I saw his trivia, I was like, oh, you gotta watch these dummies. And so they get started, and she's going downstairs to do laundry, and I'm cackling because they do the first person to walk on the moon, and Brad says Lance Armstrong. And I'm dying at this answer. And so she runs back upstairs. She's like, what happened? I was like, you got to just like listen to this. And so she says it. And I can't remember who she said. Oh, she thought she was going to say like Lance Bass or something. But he says Lance Armstrong. And she just starts cackling as well. These idiots. What? Oh, here's Cher. Here's Cher Delaware. Hello, Cher. We were talking about Brad believing Lance Armstrong is the first person to walk on the moon.
That wasn't even the best one. The best one is when they asked him the Beatles, and then he's in the
confessional. Oh, yeah, she was. Like, the fiance was offended that he did not know the Beatles. He just started saying names. She was very offended, and I'm like, I only know three of them. George? Fuck is George? I know John Paul and Ringo.
You don't know George Harrison?
No, I don't know what a George Harrison is.
You're old as hell. How do you not know who George Harrison is?
I didn't listen to the Beatles. I can name you like two Beatles songs. Yellow Submarine, Hey Jude.
Let It Be.
Be the People.
I was going to say Let It Be and Hey Jude. I think those are the
only. Oh yeah, Let It Be. There you go. I don't know the Beatles. I don't listen to the Beatles. I only know it because other people talk about the Beatles.
Same.
Yeah. Same. Yes, but he missed the Beatles one, and she was very offended by this. And then she was offended at me that I only know three of the four. So it's not a good showing for the trivia people on this. Not good. Lucy in the Sky, sure. I'm sure you can like name Beatles songs, and I'll recognize them. Like, oh yeah, sure, they do that song. But I don't know that these are like Beatles songs. Chair's frozen. The best.
Yeah, I think so. She's flexing on us. The best one was in the confessional where he also didn't know the apostles. He's like, I could name the apostles Matthew, Mark, Martha.
Like, who's Martha?
I liked I liked Kim Kardashian's children.
The fiance knew those. Yeah, she knew those actually.
St. West,
Chicago and Psalm.
Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. I knew North and Saint. I knew those
two. Yeah, me too. And then that's all I knew.
I knew Chicago just because I'm from Illinois and he's from Chicago.
I didn't realize those were, I didn't realize she had four, first of all.
Well, the last two she didn't give birth to, they used.
Right. Yeah, that's what, yeah, when that question came up, the fiance was like, oh, Northwest, Saint, Chicago, and Psalm. She's like, oh, I think I got the order right. I was like, how do you know this? Like, how do you know this? You're not like the pop culture person. She's like, I just read the news. She was like upset that she knew it. And I was upset that she knew it over me because I'm supposed to like kind of know this stuff. But
I like Derek's tweet after he tweeted at Kim Kardashian and told her he would never not know her children's names again.
I didn't realize
he said Blue Ivy. He said Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy. You didn't get one right.
I mean, whatever. Blue Ivy's more famous than Kanye.
That's true. Kids, so. She has won a Grammy.
Yeah, exactly. It's Kanye's kids done.
Blue Ivy's more famous than Kim, to be fair. So
honestly might be true at this point.
Might be true.
Sherry, we were talking about how our draft team sucked. I lost Ronnie and Jordan this week. You still have Jaune. Like, that's your big hitter. Veronica did win the daily, so that was good. And SP3, he's loaded, especially on the men's side. It's not looking good for either of us, Cher.
No. I laughed that last week you were like, Ronnie, who's allegedly still on the show.
And then they remembered she was on the show and they called her out. And I was like, well, I didn't really feel like I had her because I forgot she was on the show. So that's not like a huge loss. Losing Jordan was tough considering that was my first round pick. I felt very good about Jordan. They screwed him over giving a pulley gimmick. The man has one hand. He has half a hand.
It seems like they always do that to him too. He had the like the tug of war one that one time, and it really seems like, which I think he won that one actually, but it seems like
it was against Josh, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. He was against Josh.
I could probably win a tug of war against Josh, but yeah, I mean, it seems like they always do that to him. Give him something where he literally has to have two hands, and he's like at one and a third of hands. Like,
not fair at all. No.
Yeah, I did not. I mean, Ronnie didn't really count for you because clearly if they're not giving her any TV time, she's not going to win. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Cher, it's not looking good for us, though.
It is not.
We're going to have to buy SP3 a dick necklace, and that'll be that.
And y'all got to do PowerPoint presentations.
We do.
I think Cher has a better chance. She might get a woman's win. Like I said, I think Jaune has a very good shot of winning. I don't know about Veronica because I did think
Veronica
it was very.
Veronica has no shots.
She ain't gonna do shit.
But no I shots. Did think it was very interesting that part where her and Kayla were laughing after the party and she talked about falling down the stairs and they zoomed in on her ankle. So I don't know if that's like foreshadowing of anything. But.
There's no telling. But yeah, next draft, we're going to have to take a different direction there, Jeremy.
Yeah. I stole some of SP3's picks and that didn't work out for me. I feel like he was. SP3 was good, man. He put together a good draft. What can you say?
Pump it up.
Cher. Anything else, Cher?
You want to
plug anything? Cher was on Day After Dynamite with Will Washington last week.
I was. And after we went off air, we were doing John Cena raps line for line. So from memory.
Why wasn't that on air? Much better than talking about AEW.
Yeah. So now we have decided that we need Sean to hit a goal for Patreon. And if he hits it, we'll do Cena raps.
Yeah, no, this is not fair because I've said this before that I would do John Cena raps if they hit a certain goal. So now I'm getting stepped on here. You guys don't front. You guys are fronting.
We were doing the one when he got drafted to Raw and he was cutting it on Jericho's show to Christian and Tomko. Hmm.
The one I remember the best is the Kurt Angle one.
Oh, that one's good.
Yeah, where Brian Hebner does the beatbox and everything. That's the one that I remember.
I remember the Rhino one. The one on Rhino. That's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like the ones where he would like be in a random cemetery.
Those oh, I used to have that DVD, the Word Life DVD, and yeah. That had all of those where he was feuding with The Undertaker. Those
yeah, see, that's what we were talking about. I said, you know, Cena's coming back next week or whatever. Yeah, that my kids have asked me every day how many days until Cena comes back since they announced that. And I'm like, well, I want him to come back as Thugonomics Cena, like he did at that random Mania that year. Like, I want 45-year-old Thugonomics John Cena. That's all I want in my life.
With the comb over.
With the comb over because he's going bald. So he's got the hair come. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's all that I want. I mean, he still wears
wrestling. No more wrestling, even though it's John Cena. What are we doing talking about wrestling on this show? Knock it off.
We're talking about Peacemaker.
We're talking about rapping.
Ah, true. It's John Cena. It is John Cena. So, like, there's a little bit of a pass there. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. I'm just doing laundry. I have today off.
Oh, that's good. Enjoy your day off, Cher Delaware.
I'm not sure why very white me got Juneteenth off, but I did. So,
enjoy your day off. Have fun. Do something productive with your life. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you. Yeah, laundry is very productive. I know, especially with kids and everything, like laundry just doesn't stop. It does not. Everything is just laundry in this house. Yeah. So
I got to get these shitheads up in a few minutes to take them to basketball camp. So
they're sleeping. Oh man, I wish these kids would sleep. They're up at like 6:30. I was like, can you just go to like just stay sleeping, please? Like, no, I got to watch Minecraft videos and play Minecraft. All right, just don't wake me, and then they wake me.
Yeah,
can't stand it. These kids sleep. They're gonna learn the value of sleep.
Welcome to parenthood.
I know. They're gonna learn the value. They're gonna learn the value of sleep when they're older. You're like, oh man, I should have slept more. Like, yeah, you should have.
That's Camden now. I mean, he's almost 8, and he's like, I will sleep 17 hours straight and still be tired. And I'm like, yeah, remember when you were a baby and you were up every fucking hour for 4 years? Like,
these kids, yours are younger. The older ones, even, they're still getting up these absurd times. Knock it off. Knock it off. All right. Knock it off. All right. Thank you, Cher. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, Cher will be on the show next week with SP3 and Caden. I will not be here next week, so Caden will be filling in for me.
Was unaware. Okay.
I'm not going to be here. Fightful's shutting down next week.
The Avs are going to win, and he's upset about it.
Yeah. So. No, they're not going to win. Bye, Cher.
Bye.
All right. SP3, we are doing a draft watch-along on Thursday. You're good for that, right? We're good?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right. So Thursday, there will be a draft watch along with SP3 and myself. We're just going to watch the lottery, anything past the lottery. Who really cares? So we'll watch the lottery, though. Big time with the draft. OKC's got the 2 pick, got the 12 pick. A lot of talks. They might trade the 12 pick, trade up. So we'll see what happens there. This Kyrie news could see a lot of activity when it comes to the draft. So should be a fun Thursday evening. So you guys can come hang out with us and you can do that, or I guess watch Impact if you want to do that. Don't do that. Come hang out with us. No.
Two screens. Most people got two screens.
True. Yeah. But coming out with us, we're gonna talk about the draft. We're gonna do a draft watch along. Should be really fun.
Look forward to it. Should be. We're gonna have a great time watching the NBA draft as I see Jeremy getting nervous about who the OKC Thunder is gonna draft.
I'm really not. I think they're gonna take Holmgren, and I'm fine.
You don't think Orlando's taking Holmgren?
No, I think all the signs point to Orlando taking Jabari Smith, and then Holmgren being there for OKC. And I like Holmgren. I think that as far as like a fit, like they need a defender. They need a rim protector because they just gave up way too many shots at the rim. So he will be there doing that. I think he's the most low maintenance guy. I feel like Jabari and Paolo, like they need the ball a little bit more. And when you have Shea and Giddy, like you don't want to like fully take the ball out of their hands. Holmgren can be like a stretch guy. He's not going to post anybody. Like you're not running your offense through him like in the post or anything. He can maybe like do high post, dribble handoff. He's a good passer in playmaking and things like that. But you're not like going to fully run your offense through through him in that way with getting shots. Like, he can just kind of be like a catch and shoot guy. But you're not going to like utilize him, like say, like a Joel Embiid type big to where he needs the ball in his hands the entire time. And I think Banchero and Jabari Smith, like, I think they need the ball in their hands a little bit more. So he's a little bit more low maintenance, which is good. You know, the knock on him is going to be his frame. He's very thin. He's about as thin as I am. And people just think he's going to get dominated. Like, with OKC, they've proven that they have a good track record when it comes to this stuff. Poku's already put on some good size in two seasons. Like, Kevin Durant, that was the knock on him. He's too skinny, and he's just going to get dominated. And, like, he turned into a pretty good player, I think. The difference is Durant, small forward, Holmgren being a center. The centers are a little bit bigger than the small forwards and everything. But I think he'll be okay. I don't know if he's going to be, like, great within the first season or anything, but once he puts on that size and everything, he'll be good. He has the highest ceiling out of anybody, because look, that's an elite center with the skills he has. Like, there you go, elite big Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren with the skills he has, like, he could be an elite player, but he could also just completely flame out because he just gets physically overwhelmed and he can't stay on the floor. So I think he has the highest ceiling out of the top three. He also has the lowest floor. Like, that, it's a little bit of a concern. I think Paolo or Jabari are the safer picks. If Chet goes first, I would want Jabari. I think he's better than Paolo. But I think they get Chet Holmgren, and you know, we'll see where it goes. But I think they get Holmgren. The 12 pick is the interesting one, because it could easily trade up. Sharp is the guy that there's been a lot of talk about. I think they're going to have to trade up to like at least 6 to get him. And, you know, we'll see what they're willing to potentially move to trade up to get him. So it'll be an interesting draft for OKC. They've already traded like the 30th pick and kicked that can down the road. So they got things to play with here. I could see the Warriors making moves. You know, we talked about them having Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody. Like, I could see them making some moves. The Lakers don't have a first round pick, but if the Kyrie stuff is real, maybe that happens at the draft. The draft is always interesting. It'll be fun.
We did trade for Westbrook last draft, so yeah. I'm not hopeful. I'm not hopeful, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man.
So SP3 and I will be on the channel this Thursday at 8 o'clock. The Stanley Cup final will be at 2:02. I will try to take my mind off of it by watching the NBA draft. What about the Knicks?
It's probably gonna be over by then.
What do you want me to
say? We'll have a pre-celebration during the NBA draft for Jeremy.
It's not gonna be over. I gotta do the spotlight on Thursday, and I'm doing the draft show. I got two shows to do on Thursday, and the series is going to be at 2-2, and I'm just going to be more miserable than I was today, because we're up 2-0 and this month miserable. We're up 2-0 and I'm miserable.
Are we both going to be on this channel tomorrow?
Yes. As far as I know, I got to message Will Washington. He's the holdout right now, because I don't think he realizes. He ignores my DMs, SV3. Like, does he ignore you?
He's a busy man. Sometimes he did answer me last week. That's why I'll be a program reminder on the main Fightful channel. I'll be back on there. I know people been wanting that. Nah, they haven't. But the people that have been wanting that, I'll be on there covering for Will as he travels to Chicago for Forbidden Door, and I'll be on Grap City 12 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday with Righteous Reg and Phil Lindsay, two of the great people in wrestling media. So can't wait for that. That's going to be a good time. You get 4 hours of SP3, because at 10:05 over on True Hill Heat, I'm doing the True Hill Heat regular flagship podcast and then going into Grab City. So it's going to be 4 hours of SP3 on YouTube.
SP3, always a busy man. Bless you, SP3. Thursday, I'm going to be miserable. Yeah, so tomorrow on this channel, assuming things work out, I haven't narrowed it down. It's going to be, everybody can do 12 or 1. So it comes down to what Will can kind of do, if 12 or 1 works better than him. If one works for everybody, we're going to do it at 1. But if 12 it works for Will, then we'll do it at 12. It'll be Pillar to Post is back, All Dad Edition. For some reason, we're celebrating Father's Day late here on the channel. But All Dad Edition, it will be SP3, Will Washington, Alex McCarthy, and Joel Pearl will be on the Pillar to Post roundtable here. So that'll be tomorrow on the channel. Again, I got to confirm it with Will Washington. The other three are in. SP3, Alex, and Joel are all in. Will is just ignoring me, as he always does. So that'll be that Thursday.
He tries to screw me, act like we don't host a show every week with each other, and tries to screw me over.
Because I am
the Woody Page. I'm the Black Woody Page of Pillar to Post. I'm getting, there's a conspiracy against me because they don't want me to match Woody's win total on Around the Horn.
Pillar to Post is back tomorrow. SP3, plug everything else you got going on. So much.
Later today, about 12:05 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel reviewing Impact Slammiversary with Chris G. Then at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be on the Inside the Ropes Clip channel, ITR Clips, with Alex McCarthy and Sadie Nyangi, talking about everything from the week in wrestling. So Vince McMahon drama, Stephanie McMahon, CEO, all that good stuff. And so, yeah, check that out. And True Heel SB3 on the Twitter machine.
Tell Alex McCarthy I said hi and I can't stand him. I'll see him tomorrow, actually. See, you're lucky, SB3, because Alex McCarthy's on the show tomorrow and you know he ain't winning. You know I'm not allowing him.
This is true. So I might make it to at least farther than I did last time.
You know I ain't letting Alex McCarthy get very far. Appreciate it as always, SB3. Kaden and SB3 will be back next week. I will not be here. This will officially become SV3's like fifth channel next week when I disappear off the face of the earth. SV3 is going to move over from news writing at WrestleTalk to news writing at Fightful once I just completely quit everything. Thank you as always, SV3. Bye, everybody.
Wilson, you sent the game-winning email at the buzzer, avoiding a 4:55 meeting on everyone's calendar. How did you do it?
I got a huge assist from Grammarly, an AI writing partner that helped me make my point. And it works everywhere I write. Summarizing a doc only took one click. When everyone uses Grammarly, everything just makes sense.
Go to grammarly.com/podcast to download it for free. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.